10 to 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, to begin our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We read there like this: lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. As remembered in our prayer, dear brother, remembered, we are studying on warfare. It's not a simple topic, it's very hard. Even to preach, even to teach, even to think about it. Not only the fight is very serious, even to make a study itself, study about warfare itself is very, very serious. I'm sure the evil forces will not like us to make a study on such a topic. So I request you to remember me in your prayers. It's not easy to make a study on such a topic, and pray that the Lord may make this series a blessing for our heart or for our life. See, we have already seen four main topics on this subject. The reasons why we ignore this warfare, and the features of Christian's warfare, then four things that assure our victory, and also the cause of the fight. What is the reason why we face a fight even after the Lord conquering the evil forces? So today we are going to make a very brief study on the enemy itself. We understand that, you know, often we say that half the battle is won if you know the enemy. Whether it is a fight with a nation or fight with a people or wherever it is, where there is a fight, we need to know who our enemy is and what is the ability of the enemy and the resources of the enemy. I won't go into the details of that. And who is our enemy? Apostle Peter says that Satan, who is our adversary, devil is our enemy, and we need to know who he is and how much strength he has and what are the resources he has and what are the tactics or strategy he is using in connection with the Christian's warfare. But we must remember that, as I told you in the beginning, you know, Mr. C.S. Lewis, he wrote many years ago, there are two equal positive areas in which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. And he is very correct, actually. I told you in the beginning itself, there are people who dwell much on devil and evil forces. In their life, whatever happens, they will say it is the work of the devil. So they try to excuse themselves from their responsibility. At the same time, some of us, very specifically speaking, we just ignore that aspect. Some years ago, I got a call from somebody, I won't name him, I won't even name the title of that person. He asked me, do you have any crack on your wall? He came to know that one of our daughter, you know, younger one, is having some kind of sickness, and he was so sad about it. It is actually an allergy. And he asked me, just see, brother, do you have crack on your wall anywhere on the corner? You know, our home in Goregon, it's an old one. I said, there are many cracks here and there. Then he told me, that means there are many evil spirits inside that crack. I will come one day and rebuke those evil spirits, and it will go, and then your child also will be healed. Now, we are not following such you know, ideology. We are not following such thoughts at all. We should not be obsessed with evil spirits. We should not overemphasize this aspect. At the same time, we should have some awareness, some understanding about who our enemy is and what are the tactics he will use. So we need to understand what is the who is our enemy and who is he and what is he and what are the things he will do. See, in the Bible we see a lot about devil. I'm not going to the details of devil and demons and all those things. We can understand him from the names we read about him. We can understand him from the titles that we find about devil. And also we can understand him from the activities of devil throughout the history and throughout the Bible. So the various ways we can understand the enemy who is with whom we have to fight. But today we will just see seven things about our enemy, the devil. Seven things. Okay? I hope you are following. Number one. First thing we need to understand is, he is a created fallen angel. Now we understand it from various portions. Maybe we shall look into one or two verses. See Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. We read there. I have a problem. I cannot properly see. And the mic is here. That's what I'm struggling a little bit. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So from there we understand that the Lord created everything, including what? Including, even we read there, the principalities or powers. One more verse we shall read from Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 15. There also we see that that's a reference to the creation. We read there, verse 16, verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the days you were created, till iniquity was found in you. From verse 13 onwards, we understand that it's about the prince of Tyre. But it's actually about Satan who energized the prince of Tyre, the king of Tyre. Okay, he is the created being. See, very difficult to explain. I told you, he's a created fallen angel. So three things are actually mixed together. Created one, fallen one, and angelic being. Created, fallen, angel. We see here in Ezekiel 28 itself, we read that from 13 onwards, how his fall took place. We read there verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before the kings, that they might gaze at you. So we understand from there he is an angelic being created by God but fallen because of the pride of that created angelic being. We understand the detail, we get the details in Isaiah 14 also. Isaiah says about the fall of Satan in 1 Isaiah 14. Now the second thing we see in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. We read there, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders. What do we understand from there about devil? Very hard to study about devil, you know. Many years ago, I had a book written by Ezekiel.
devil and his activities. I don't know where that book is. I lost it somewhere. And I had many other books also earlier. And I told, you know, it's very difficult to explain or teach, study about devil and the evil forces. Somehow, you know, he is able to disturb. I'm going to explain it very, very clearly, slowly. Slowly and clearly, only you need, I need your prayers and your, attention, that's all. You see, here we see that verse 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, we read, the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. From there we understand, devil is a very powerful being. He works with all power. He works with all kinds of lying and wonders. It is true that devil is not omnipotent like God. He doesn't know everything about like God. But he knows many things, much more than man. And he is not all powerful, but he is able to do much more than man can do. Now we understand that when Moses, performed wonders or signs in Egypt, what happened? The people there, the magicians could do that. They could copy it. But what was the difference? What was the difference? Somebody from this side. And always I prefer, answers. Then only that study will go properly. Teachers, you know it. Keep on preaching is very difficult. Eh? No, the difference is Moses' snake swallowed the snakes of the magicians. The point I want to make is devil has much power, but the Lord has all power. Our God has all power. He's all powerful. He knows everything. But devil has more power than man, and he knows much more than we know. So he is very, very powerful. So when we think of the working of Satan throughout the century, throughout the church history, even the biblical history, think of Israelites itself. See, in spite of all the warnings God gave and the signs and miracles of Moses and the encouraging words and the instructions, even then, devil was successful in taking away whom? The people of Israel after him. Devil was so successful to take away the attention of people of Israel to after the foreign gods, to rebel against God, and God had to punish the people of Israel. And even after having a lot of plenty of messianic prophecies, devil could blind the eyes of the Jewish people. They couldn't see the Messiah. They rejected Messiah. And even today, when we think of the work of devil is so powerful, and we can see that from throughout the Bible. So here we see that, Apostle Paul says, the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He's a very, very powerful being. So what's the first one I said? Devil, he's a created being. He is not an evil God. Don't think that there are two gods. One God is a good God, our God, and the other God is an evil God who is fighting against our God. Devil is not a God. Devil is a created being, just like you and me. God created devil, not devil. The Bible, I didn't go to the details, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 24:28. Devil, originally, he was the chief angel, rebelled against God. And because of his pride, he was so beautiful. He had the highest position in God's creation among the angels. And because of his pride, God cast him out of his presence. And that's how he became a fallen angel. And he is the chief. And along with him, there are many thousands of other angels rebelled against God. And some of them are chained for destruction or judgment in future. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 2. And many others are still with devil. They are free to move around, but yet they are under God. We see that in Job chapter 1. So we see the first thing, devil is a created. Yeah, student, my student, you are my students actually. Yeah, I love you so much because you are so attentive to me. I like such people. The devil is a created fallen angel. Created fallen angel, number one. Number two, he is a very, very powerful being. Number three, we see in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. You see Ephesians 6 12. Ephesians 6 12 we read. Verse 12, you see, in the end of 12, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Against, notice that expression, spiritual host of wickedness. We are fighting against the evil forces. And what kind of forces they are? These angelic beings, or Satan, he is characterized by what? Purity, wickedness. Evil against spiritual host of wickedness. Devil has no good thing in him. There is no good thing in. See in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. We read there just a little bit. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See, in the sons of disobedience, people disobey God. People disobey man. People disobey one another. What is the reason? Evil spirit, spirit of Satan, working, instigating, strengthening. So Satan, he is characterized by wickedness. He is, promoting evil, and he prompts us to commit sin. And he even discovers new method of committing evil. When you just think of the way evil is growing in this world, we can see how much wise is devil. New form of wickedness. As you become old, you understand from the newspaper, from the society, we get to know that the things that we never thought about, the evil things, the wicked thing we never imagined, are happening today. And also the things that we always thought that it's very, very wicked, and devil has successfully brought into the society, thinking that it's easy, it's simple, it's nothing. Devil is very, very wicked. And from his names also we understand, some of the names, I didn't refer to those names. His name is Satan. That speaks of his accuser, that meaning is adversary, accuser. Devil, meaning is slanderer or traitor. Apollyon, that speaks of his meaning is destruction. There are many other titles. Angel of light, roaring lion, dragon, liar, murderer. His names itself shows that devil is a wicked person or wicked being. He is characterized by wickedness. He discovers new ways and he prompts us to commit sin. He propagates evil and there is no good thing in devil. That means we should never have any fellowship. We should never have anything to do with the agents of devil at all. Okay, now fourth one. We see that in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Just an example. See Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Very familiar verse, I'm sure. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. What do we understand from there? What is the point? Very clear. Serpent were more cunning. Devil is very subtle one. Cunning one. Now what is cunning? Cunning means what? See, he is not an enemy who will come and fight with us face to face. Devil will always work from behind the scene. He doesn't take any credit. He doesn't need any introduction also. He doesn't want to say, I am devil, I am Satan, I oppose God, I am God's people, I want to trouble. He will never make such a claim or such a credit, or even he will not even give an introduction at all. He always works from behind. David, very cunning. And also, he wears different masks. Here we see that he took the mask of a serpent in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, in order to influence Eve. And when we come to the Bible, Apostle Peter says he will take the mask of what? Lion. To threaten us, to swallow us, and he will take the mask of what? Angel of light, to deceive us, to tell that I am very clear, I am very holy, and also he will take the mask of a bird. We see he will come as a bird and take away the word of God, the seed that is sown, and he will take it away. So he wears different masks. And also, he is using different tactics that we have seen in 2 Corinthians 2:11. You know, Apostle Paul says that you are aware of his devices. So many devices he has. Now we will go to the devices later on. Devices means the schemes, the strategy, the different methods he will use. Devil will use a particular method for one person, and he will use a different method for another person. He will use a particular method in Borivali, and he will use another method in another place, according to the need and the people. So he has many devices. We will go to that maybe later on. And Ephesians 6:12, one more thing about the evil forces or devil. Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12, we read once again. Just notice carefully, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We have to fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Four times against is mentioned. Then four different designations are given there. Now what does it speak? That shows that devil, he is the chief. Under him, thousands of angels are there. And he has divided these thousands of angels in different regiments. Just like in a navy or an army. He has divided them in different regiments. And each one is having a different name. According to Apostle Paul, he says that one is called principalities, the other is powers or rulers of darkness, spiritual host of wickedness. So one thing is very clear, devil has he has an organized force. They are not working together. They are not working, all of them together. Thousands of angels, evil angels, fallen angels, divided into different groups. And different groups are working in different places. Why is it necessary? It's not written there. But how can we imagine? What is the need of dividing these angels? What is the need of devil needs to have different regiments? You know, in the army or in the military, they have different regiments. Different groups are there. Each group has a different, activity or a different goal, different work. Now, why devil needs that? You cannot make a suggestion. Yes, see, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, we don't get an answer there, but another idea we get, chapter 2, verse 13. I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. So Pergamos, for some time, devil has kept a capital or a headquarter there. So we understand from there, we understand that because, as I told you in the beginning, devil is not present everywhere just like God. God is everywhere. Devil is not everywhere. Do you think that? He doesn't know everything. So he needs different agents. He needs agents who will work here and there. He needs agents who will collect information from there and here and there so that he can work effectively and he can work successfully. And he keeps his headquarters here in Pergamos for some time and another place for some time. He keeps on changing those headquarters also. One writer, Vernon Magee, one radio preacher he says that these four groups of regiments are necessary for four kinds of activities. I like that suggestion. I'll just quote it for you from his book, actually, his commentary. He says, principalities are like generals, the high-ranking demons. Principalities. From where we got these words? Ephesians chapter 6. So these principalities are high-ranking demons who are responsible for influencing various nations. They are in charge of the nations, various nations, McGee says. Maybe right, I don't know. The second is powers. Powers are just like an ordinary soldier, lowest ranking soldier or demons who will possess human beings. So devil has a group of agents to look after the affairs of various nations. And devil has another group of angelic beings who will possess people. And you remember in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, how many evil spirits came together to possess a man? One man? 6,000, around 6,000. 6,000 evil spirits possessing one man. And you must remember that no believer can be possessed by any evil spirit. That also you must remember. A child of God will never be possessed by an evil spirit. Or evil spirit can never possess or control or take control of a Christian believer. That is the very clear biblical teaching. But they can influence, they can disturb. That we shall see later on. So principalities, high-ranking generals. And powers, lowest-ranking demons possessing the heart of man. And rulers of darkness, he says that, McGee says, they are demons who are in charge of Satan's worldly affairs or worldly business. McGee says. But I think we are quoting because great Bible scholars, when they make a suggestion, it is good to listen to them. Not just from our own understanding. So I'm just quoting another person, Dr. John MacArthur. He says that perhaps this rank, means powers, not powers, rulers of darkness. Perhaps this rank refers to demons who infiltrated various political systems of this world. What MacArthur says? He says that the third group, rulers of the darkness, their responsibility, their work is to infiltrate, to get inside the political system of the nations. That means the government will take a decision which is against God. Government will be influenced by, or government or these policy makers will be influenced by these evil forces, and they will take such a decision, such a policy, so that will destroy God's plan and God's purposes. Some of you may have read from the newspaper very recently. I really wonder, some of you may wonder, you all may wonder, for many years in India, same-sex marriage was a crime for many years. You have read it? No, we should be aware of it. What is going on in our nation? And very recently, our government said, it's not at all a crime now. The Supreme Court asked, what do you think? And there was, they delayed, and finally the government said, no, it's not a crime. The Bible says it's a crime. Not just a crime, it's sin. It's utter sin. It's against God and God's purposes. So the evil forces are able to influence these policy makers. And even Mr. Obama, very recently he said, maybe 1 week ago he said, what? We should allow gay marriage. Very recently, one or two weeks ago. Why? The Bible says, maybe John MacArthur is right there, you know. Perhaps this rank, there are thousands and thousands of groups of evil forces. Devil has particularly given them the responsibility to infiltrate, to get into the political system, to influence the policy makers or the politicians so that the government may take such a decision or such a law that will be against the word of God. Okay, and the fourth group is spiritual host of wickedness, according to Ephesians chapter 6. Now there, Maggie says, demons who have charge over religion, or they are involved in the most wretched, vile immoralities. They have charge over religion, instigating or teaching or producing different kinds of ideology or religious thoughts. Anyway, one thing is true, Satan's is very much organized force. He's a very organized force. So I told you five things about Satan so far. The first thing is, he is a created fallen angel. And secondly, he is a powerful being. Don't simply underestimate his power. And number three, he is characterized by wickedness, no good thing in him. And number four is very subtle one, very cunning. And number five is he has an organized force. And we need to be very careful. He has a plan for different people. He has a group of special task force for different group of people. That means we need to be very, very careful against the activities of the evil forces. Now, Luke's Gospel 4:13 says another thing. Luke's Gospel 4:13. You see Luke's Gospel 4:13? Where there we see about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the end, we read, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. What do we see there? Devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord defeated him. And even after that defeat, what happens? Devil, he departed the Lord until an opportune time, thinking of another occasion when he can come and fight against the Lord. That shows that, not only that experience, if our experience shows, devil, even if he is failed, he will never go back. He has no shame and he has no worry. He is not bored working after us, going after us, working against us. Even if he is not successful, keep on trying. So we should never think that I am successful, I have finished my fight, there is no more fight for me. Devil is a shameless being, so he will come after us. There is a possibility, or he will come back, because he is a shameless being. Now finally, we have seen it already, 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. We read there in the end of verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now we understand, I have already told you, there are many other verses, Colossians 2:15, Hebrews 2:14, he referred to those verses. The Lord has already destroyed the works of devil. Not only destroyed the works of devil, he has destroyed his power. Devil has no strength, no power. We understand that not only by the life of Jesus Christ, by his own death. When devil possessed man, or devil captured man, he thought that man will come after devil, go along with him to the eternal hellfire. But what God did? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he defeated by his own death. He died for the man. He took their penalty. And by taking their penalty, God is able to forgive them. God is able to cleanse them. God is able to accept them as his own children. Devil is defeated. So here we understand that devil is a defeated foe. And devil has no strength left. And God is able to bring the Lord by his death. He is able to bring many sons to glory. He is a defeated foe. And we don't need to fear him at all. Because the Lord has already defeated him. I have explained this matter, this point repeatedly earlier. So I don't want to go into the details. Seven things we have seen. Created fallen angel. He is a powerful being. He is characterized by wickedness. He is very subtle one. He has an organized force. He is a shameless being. He is a defeated foe. So what does it mean? That means, even though it's true that we have a warfare, we don't need to fear. Because the Lord has won the victory. We don't need to fear the activities of satanic forces. But what we need to do, we need to trust that Lord who has already defeated devil. And we need to stay close to him. And we need to allow him to work in and through us. Now one story I read that a girl was asked, when temptation comes to you, how do you win over temptation? Somebody asked a girl. And she said this. She said, when Satan knocks at door, I just send whom? Angel. She said, when Satan knocks at door, I just send whom to open the door? Christ to open the door. Not I myself. When temptation comes, when devil comes to knock, I cannot go, I won't go, because I cannot be successful. I cannot defeat him in myself, in my own self. I have no strength in myself. But we can be successful by sending the Lord there, because he has already defeated devil. He is the victor. In him we have the victory. So what we need to do is, we need to trust the Lord. We need to stay close to him. We need to allow the Lord to fight for us. We need to allow the Lord to work in us and through us and fight for us. Then we will have victory always. We don't need to be defeated always. That's why Apostle Paul says, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless this.